From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his series expounding the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, bringing the concluding portion of a message entitled The Full Fruit of Christ's Atonement. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Close Fellowship. The text is Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Truly, whatever else we do not know, we know the Lord. This day is this promise true in our experience, and it is not a little one. The least believer among us knows God in Christ Jesus. Not as fully as we desire, but yet truly and really we know the Lord. We not only know doctrines about Him, but we know Him. He is our Father and our friend. We are acquainted with Him personally. We can say, My Lord and my God. We are on terms of close fellowship with God, and many a happy season do we spend in His holy company. We are no more strangers to our God, but the secret of the Lord is with us. This is more than nature could have taught us. Flesh and blood has not revealed God to us. Christ Jesus has made known the Father to our hearts. If then the Lord has made us to know Himself, is not this the fountain of all saving knowledge? To know God is eternal life. So soon as we come to acquaintance with God, we have the evidence of being quickened into newness of life. O my soul, rejoice in this knowledge, and bless thy God all this day.
His blood atoned for all our
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he is bringing the final portion of an exposition of verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Dr. Cairns has been calling attention to three views of Christ contained in this verse. As the righteous servant, Christ is the just one, a declaration of his sinlessness. Then he is the judged one, who by the travail of his soul bore the wrath of God in the place of his people. Christ is also the joyful one, for God the Father promised him that in exchange for his obedience unto death, the Savior would see his seed. And the text makes it clear that as the justifying one, Christ makes many righteous. In conclusion, the text reveals the satisfaction of Christ, the reward of his finished work on the cross. Now, here is Dr. Cairns.
2 Corinthians 5:21 is my favorite text on this subject. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that gives me the excuse again to give you the old Scottish paraphrase of that. And if you haven't yet learned it off by heart, then learn it off by heart. God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us who knew no righteousness, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is the heart of the gospel. That's the method of justification. In other words, justification starts with a legal action of God. a legal condemnation of your sin. If you're hoping that God is going somehow or other to drop the idea of condemning sin in order to save you, you're hoping for something that will never happen. God's action is legal. He condemns sin. But here's his love. He condemns it in Christ. And he commands righteousness. And he imputes the righteousness of Christ to us. He says, in the covenant of grace you are one. As a husband and a wife are one. As the head and the body are one. And it is just that the head should suffer for the sins of the body, and that the body should enjoy the blessings merited by the head. That's the method. The merit of justification, he shall bear their iniquities. We ought never to forget this. Never in all your study of the Bible get far from the blood of Christ. Never stray from the cross. The greatest preachers in history have not been the preachers with the most fertile imaginations, the preachers with the greatest expression of philosophical ideas. The greatest preachers on earth have been the preachers best able to preach up the cross. When I read the sermons of C.H. Spurgeon, rejoices my heart. Never matters where his text is found. Spurgeon always gets to the cross. The Apostle Paul was the same. He said, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's the merit of justification. I always stand amazed at the audacity of people who think that they can fob God off with the best that they can do. God will surely take me to heaven. After all, I'm doing the best I can. Man or woman, if it took the death and agony of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save guilty sinners, how proud it is, how wicked it is for you to dare to tell God that he should be satisfied with the best that you can do. The merit that God accepts is Christ's merit. But just turn that around a little. He does accept it. And if today I have been made righteous in Christ, if today I am justified through the merits of his blood, then as Christ is accepted, I am accepted. Ephesians 1 verse 6, accepted in the beloved. Loved as he is loved. Received as he is received. Welcome to heaven as he is welcome to heaven. As sure of heaven as he is sure of heaven, because being one with him, we are accepted on his merit. The method of justification is that he makes them legally righteous. The merit of justification is that we are justified, as Romans 5 and 9 says, through his blood. The means of justification is by his knowledge. Some people say knowledge means the doctrine of Christ. There's a lot to be said for that. Other people say it means that he knew the secret counsel of God. And to be quite honest, while that's very true, I don't see that that's making much sense of the text. The best commentators have all said, and I believe they're right, by his knowledge means by knowing him. By the knowledge of him, he'll justify many. This is Isaiah's statement of Paul's doctrine of justification by faith. Justified by knowing Christ. And by the way, I think that gives you a very good picture of what faith is. What is faith? My, you can get many definitions of faith. But here is a very simple description, if it's not a definition. Faith is knowing Christ. Faith is not just belief in a proposition. Faith is not just a knowledge of certain truths or doctrines. Faith is a knowledge of a person. Faith is not a leap in the dark, mind you. Faith knows. Faith doesn't just vaguely hope that somehow, somewhere it'll be right. Faith knows. It knows this Bible is true. It knows the revelation of God in Christ is true. It knows the condemnation of sin given out in the Bible is true. But thank God it knows the gospel that God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us who were under the law, is also true. It knows that when it says He rose from the dead, that is true. And thank God it knows that He who said, I am the truth, means it and will perform it. When He promises, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Faith knows not just about Christ, but it lays hold of Christ. It knows Christ. And I want to tell you, when you know Christ, you're saved. He'll justify you. The means of justification is by faith, not by works. What a glorious gospel it is, that you don't labor to make God love you. You don't work to make God accept you. You don't have to go through frustrating experience after frustrating experience to try and force God's heart to open up to you. My friend, Christ has done everything needed to make an impression on God. He has done everything needed to make God accept us. We don't need works. We need Him who did the work. We need Christ. And when you know Christ, you're justified. When you know Christ, you're accepted. And when you know Christ, being justified and accepted, that's what will give you the power to be holy. You take even an earthly example. If you really know a person who is particularly upright, moral, you really know that person. The influence of that person will be strong to push you in the same direction. Let me tell you, when you know Christ, the knowledge of Christ, far greater than the example I've given, will be in you because His Spirit is in you. But will be in you to impel you to holiness. And you'll be holy not because you're trying to make God accept you or impress God, but you'll be holy because you know Christ. That is the means of justification. It is by faith alone. And let me finish on the point that I was making, for I want to emphasize the satisfaction of Christ. The multitude of the justified, He will justify many. Get it again in your head. Forget all you've ever been told about the little handful in heaven. I can't think of anything that would detract more from the glory of Christ than to pay the greatest price that even heaven could afford, and yet at the end of the day have nothing but a tiny minority of men. I tell you plain and straight once again, I don't believe it. Revelation 7 and 9, to which I've also already made reference. Great multitude which no man could number out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Who are they? Verse 14, these are they. They come out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See that great multitude? They're glorified. And take courage in this. Romans 8 and 30. justification never stops short of glorification. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Man, that makes the devil a liar, doesn't it? How many times to a young Christian, and to an older Christian, to a weak Christian, to a sick Christian, to a Christian under pressure of circumstances or whatever, the devil comes and he insinuates the lie, well, now he let you go, you're saved now, but perhaps yet you'll be in hell. No, no, no. Whom he justified, past tense, them he also glorified, past tense. There is a sense, according to Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, in which we are already in heaven. Amazing, yes, but not so amazing. Because if Christ and his people are one, and Christ is in heaven, then thank God, in him we are in heaven. And as far as our bodily presence is concerned, there's not a thing in heaven, earth, or hell that will ever keep us out of glory. He shall justify many. Let me ask you, do you know Christ? Do you know him? You can be a great theologian and know a lot about him, but not know him. I have a library half full of books of men who knew a lot about him, but they don't appear to have known him. I read a very long and learned article on the servant of the Lord in the book of Isaiah by a brilliant scholar. The name of Jesus Christ didn't even once get a mention. Of all fools, the greatest fool is a learned fool. Do you know him? You can be a Presbyterian and not know him. Believe it or not, you can be a Baptist and not know him. You can be at the Lord's table and not know him. I ask you today to search your heart in this. Do I know him? It is only by the knowledge of him that I'll be justified by him. It is only through faith in him that I'll be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But man, if there's no faith in Christ, if you're not trusting in Christ, if you haven't given up hope in yourself and in your works and in your abilities, if you haven't jettisoned hope in every other thing and person but Christ, if you will not abandon yourself to Christ in repentance and faith, then you cannot be saved. Do you know him? If you do, you're saved. If you don't, you're yet lost. But you can come to know him. How do you come to know him? Take the words of Christ himself. Come unto me. You'll never get to know Christ from a distance. He says, come unto me. And he goes on to say, learn of me. That's coming to know him. How do you come to know him? You come to know him by coming to him. The gospel always comes down to the invitation, come. The climax of the whole scriptural revelation, the end of the book of the revelation, is come. The Spirit and the bride unite to say, come. That's the invitation. And when you come, thank God, you'll be saved. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and teach us much of the full fruit of Christ's once for all atonement.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.